another Beckman?" George Haddonfield asked as the horses ambled down the frozen lane.
"I hear that he's disgustingly happy with his bride," Tremaine replied.
Tremaine also endured a lot of pointed ruminating from Beckman Haddonfield about the raptures of married life. In the spirit of furthering mutual interests, Tremaine had proposed marriage to Polonaise Hunt, Beckman's sister-in-law, and been turned down flat. No great loss. But a small loss, Tremaine would admit that much. He and Polonaise would have rubbed along together adequately. "How is it you came to be interested in sheep?" George asked. Nobody in his right mind admitted to an interest in sheep, and Tremaine enjoyed excellent mental faculties. He was, however, interested in money. "My mother's people are Scottish, though my father was French. When France became unsafe, Mama took her sons home to Scotland. My grandfather's wealth rested on the wool trade, and I learned by his example." A few prosaic sentences that glossed over a small boy's heartbreak and a Scottish curmudgeon's prescription for dealing with it.
"Do you like sheep?" Lady Nita asked.
George Haddonfield maintained a diplomatic interest in the winter drab countryside, rather than comment on an arguably peculiar or insightful inquiry. Because Tremaine had been uncomfortably aware of Lady Nita's family tolerating her, he answered honestly rather than politely. "Whether I like sheep is of no moment, though I respect them. They have neither fangs nor claws, nor great speed or size, and yet we rely on them for a fabric without which life would lose much of its comfort. Sheep know to stick together when trouble comes calling, and they aren't too proud to bolt when imperiled." Then, too, sheep had made Tremaine wealthy.
"Perhaps your Mr. Burns should have written his poem to a sheep rather than a mouse," George quipped.
Burns had had any number of kind words for sheep, also for women and whiskey.
"Soldiers owe a debt to sheep," Tremaine replied, "or does anybody seeking to keep warm in winter. Sheep ask little and give much. They look to their own and are, in their way, stoic. To my eye, a herd of sheep is an attractive addition to any bucolic scene."
Tremaine had spoken too fiercely, for Lady Nita was smiling, while George Haddonfield looked vaguely puzzled. What would George think if he knew Tremaine, like any self-respecting shepherd, preferred the company of sheep to that of most people?
"I like sheep too," Lady Nita said.
She petted her shaggy beast, but she was still smiling a sweet, feminine, interesting sort of smile that shifted her countenance from pretty to alluring.
"Not much farther," George Haddonfield said, as if they'd completed several days' forced march. "The shepherd bides in that cottage up the hill. I'll alert him to our presence."
George snugged his top hat down and cantered off, his horse's hooves beating a hard tattoo against the frozen ground.
"So, tell me, my lady," Tremaine said, "does it really take you an hour to gobble up some eggs and pop into your habit?"
Because for all Belafonte's hospitality over tea and toast, some current had underlain the Earl's words at breakfast.
"Nicholas needed to scold me," Lady Nita said, her tone perfectly amiable. "He worries, and now that he's a papa, his worry goes in all directions, like so many chickens when a hound gets loose among them."
"He scolded you for helping a neighbour deliver a child?"
Tremaine hadn't taken Belafonte for a man to insist on class distinctions in the midst of the dire and delicate matter of childbirth.
"My mother attended many births," Lady Nita said, "and I accompanied her when I grew older. Nicholas understands, as Papa did, that childbirth is not a time to stand on ceremony, but I sent my groom home when darkness fell."
Tremaine prided himself on a compliment of common sense from both his French and his Scottish antecedents, so he parsed the rest of the situation out for himself.
"Your neighbour lives in a humble dwelling," he guessed, "a single room likely, and the groom's choices were to be present at the birth, or brave the elements for hours on end. You apprised your brother of your reasoning."
"I was too angry."
"And her brother was too besotted with his countess."
"When I was too angry," Tremaine mused, "my grandfather sent me to the Highlands, though my problem was, in truth, grief and fear rather than temper. Mama and Papa had both perished in the bloody glory."